The message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
One of the great things about studying the Word of God is to find out what God has to say to us. The word gospel means good news. That is the good news that God sends to us. It's a truism that doesn't need to be said, and yet it does need to be said, that there's more than one good news in the Bible. It'd be a strange book if the whole Bible only had one set of good news in it. And indeed, it has many good news. In fact, there are 14 different titles given to various good newses, messages of good news, glad tidings from God. Now, the word gospel itself means good news. But the content of what the good news is related to us in titles about good news of what? For example, there's the gospel of the grace of God, the good news of God's grace. There's the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of the kingdom, and the everlasting gospel, and so on and so forth. Different good newses, different glad tidings and messages of good news from God. As we've been studying now through the gospel accounts of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's important that we understand that in those books, in the earthly ministry of Christ, as it's recorded in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is a specific and particular gospel message being proclaimed. Let's review just for a minute so we don't forget where we're at, what we're talking about. Paul says that the Bible is divided up into three basic time divisions. Time past, then he talks about but now, and then he talks about the ages to come. And the distinctions between those three time frames are as identified in Ephesians chapter 2. Time past is characterized by distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. Now, we've been studying this, and I don't want to spend all the time today just going back over it again. If this is new to you, if maybe you haven't caught the broadcast and our Bible study together in the past, at the end of the program, there'll be an address, and we'll be glad to send you, if you'd write to me and just say, Brother Rick, I hadn't seen the program before, and I need the information about how the time chart works out. If you'll write me or call the phone number that'll be on at the end of the program, I'll be glad to send you. It won't cost you anything. This ministry is not designed to raise money. This ministry is designed to teach the Word of God. We appreciate the opportunity to be on this television station, and we appreciate the opportunity to be in your home. And our desire is to give unto you the things that God has shared with us and taught us out of the Word of God. And we'd be glad to give you a little booklet entitled The Key to Understanding the Bible that would go through this information and show you verse by verse how that God's Word opens itself up, teaches you itself. Paul says we're to rightly divide the Word of Truth, and Paul also teaches us how to do that. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says God's dealings are divided into time past, but now, and the ages to come. And time past is characterized by that division between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. But now, that division between the circumcision and uncircumcision has been done away. And now there's equal basis. Now God's forming the church, the body of Christ, in which there is neither Jew nor Gentile, but we're all one in Christ. Then in the ages to come out here, he's gonna complete and bring to fruition and bring to fulfillment the purposes that he had in time past and the purpose that he has now in the ages to come. He'll bring that those two purposes to fulfillment. God has a twofold purpose. One concerns the heavens. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. One concerns the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earthly purpose has been what God talked about and made known and preached about and proclaimed since the world began. It's what we call prophecy. It's what God has told men about and spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, Peter says, since the world began. Jesus Christ died at Calvary. He was buried, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit back on the day of Pentecost, and Peter, In Acts chapter number 3 over here, says that the prophets, as many as have spoken, have foretold of these days. For these things in here are the things that God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, speaking about the things found over here in Romans through Philemon, revealed through his ministry over here, has to do with the but now section in here. The things in here, Paul says, these things are the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, that's a basic distinction in studying the Word of God, and you'll never be able to understand the Bible if you don't recognize the distinctions that God makes. When God says something was spoken since the world began, and He said something was hidden, kept secret since the world began, the two things aren't the same. And it makes little difference if I don't like that or if I do like it. It's the facts. And the key in Bible study is just to find out what are the facts. Like Joe Friday used to say, just the facts, ma'am. And that's what we want. And so that distinction, as far as the revelation of them is, this program was revealed, prophesied, made known since the world began. This program is kept secret since the world began. Two different things. As far as the sphere of activity, this program back here has to do with the earth. This program has to do with the heavens. This program back here has to do with God's kingdom and authority being established on the earth through the instrumentality of a kingdom given to the nation Israel, the circumcision. This program has to do with the church, the body of Christ, a heavenly people in God's kingdom being established in the heavens through the instrumentality of the new creation. As far as agency is concerned, this is the nation Israel, God's kingdom nation. This is the church, the body of Christ. That's where we are. This is time past. That's when it'll all be brought to fulfillment. Now, that's a real quick Bible course. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John fit in time past. They give us the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ in time past to the nation Israel. And it's the nation Israel only. And Jesus says in John chapter 4, He says, salvation is of the Jews. Matthew chapter number 10, when He sends His apostles out to preach, He says, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Don't go down here to these people. Don't go into any of the cities of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew 15:24, Jesus Christ tells His apostles, He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as He goes out and preaches, and we've seen this in detail in the past, He's going out preaching, gathering together a believing remnant in view of that kingdom over there. Because the gospel message that's preached back here is the gospel of the kingdom. And that's important to understand. Now, when we say it's the gospel of the kingdom, that is that it looks forward back here to that coming kingdom over there, and that's the issue. The ministry in here, the church, the body of Christ, the dispensation of grace in which we live today, these things are not found back here because they are a mystery, hidden in God, not revealed until the ministry of the Apostle Paul has them revealed and through him made known to us. Jesus Christ made known to the Apostle Paul this information. He kept it secret till then. This stuff back here is founded in what's in the Old Testament scriptures and in the prophets. Now, the gospel of the kingdom, and it's important to understand what that message is, not just that it's a message about the kingdom coming, but the contents of it. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ comes doing the same thing. From that time, and that's the time John was thrown in prison, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 23 of Matthew 4, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You see, the gospel of the kingdom is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They know about the wrath of God that's going to be poured out against the nation Israel to purge out the rebel from their midst. We call it the tribulation period. They know about the Antichrist that's going to come and draw away the unbeliever out of Israel. And they know about the wrath of God being poured out upon them. And they know about the Messiah coming and the kingdom. And He says, repent. Change your mind about your idols, worshiping the idols and the idolatry. And come and be baptized for the baptism of remission of sins to cleanse yourself from the filthiness of your idols. And prepare yourself to go and function in that kingdom and the ministry God has prepared for you. that issue of the gospel, the good news that the kingdom's coming. Now, the good news of the kingdom, it's not good news to Gentiles, because Gentiles are going to be destroyed in it at the coming of Christ. He's going to pour his wrath out on the earth, but he's going to save Israel out of the tribulation and into their kingdom. Now, this gospel of the kingdom is what Christ preached when he was here. By the way, the verse says that he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Come back with me to Isaiah chapter 33, and you'll see why he did that. Isaiah chapter 33, verse number 22. For the Lord, talking about the second advent of Christ and the kingdom right over here, prophesying about this. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawmaker. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Over here, the executive, legislative, and judicial branch of the government will be in the hands of Jesus Christ. He's the king, he's the judge, he's the lawgiver. He's the judge, the judiciary. He's the lawgiver, he's the legislator. You won't have to worry about the House and the Senate anymore. You won't have to worry about crooked politicians anymore. You won't have to worry about corrupt judges anymore. He'll be the king, he'll be the executive. You won't have to worry about impeaching presidents anymore. He'll take all of it. And the kingdom will belong to the saints of the Most High God. Now in that kingdom, verse 24 says, the inhabitants of that kingdom shall not say, I am sick. The people shall dwell therein, shall have their shall be forgiven their iniquity. Over here in that kingdom, people aren't going to say, Lordy, Lordy, I'm sick, for I am the Lord God that healeth thee. And in that kingdom, he's going to heal them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. So when he came over here preaching about that kingdom and that it was coming, he confirmed the word of that kingdom by healing the people over here. And the people he healed were the nation Israel. Did you know there wasn't any Gentiles that he went about healing over here? In Matthew 4:23, when it says that he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people, that's the people Israel, there weren't any Gentiles getting healed there. People say, well, you need to come claim your healing. You don't have any healing in Matthew 4:23. You don't have any healing in Matthew chapter number 10. You don't have any healing in Mark 1. You don't have any healing in Luke 13. You don't have any healing in John 5. That is, you Gentiles. That was Israel's program. The Bible says about these people, Jesus told them in John 4:48, you will not believe except you see signs. You won't believe unless you see signs and wonders. So here they are. You won't believe the kingdom's come unless you see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says, the Jew requires a sign. Psalm 74, verse 9 says, we see not our signs. They're the birthright of the nation Israel. So he came demonstrating in practical terms the powers that he was preaching about. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is a very important message. And if you're going to understand what's going on in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have to understand the contents of the gospel of the kingdom. And I want to talk to you about that, because it's vitally important. Because often, people, we find ourselves going back to these books and find ourselves trying to take the things that Christ teaches back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and applying them to ourselves. And what that does is it brings frustration and confusion. And most sadly, it brings hypocrisy, because those things don't work. You see, you and I have never been able, one day in our life, to make God do something God isn't doing. And God is not doing the things that are recorded in these books back here today. That is not God's program today. God's program today is found in Paul's epistles right over here. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. God isn't doing that today. God's doing this, and they're different. Now, if you want to know what God's doing, you get in the book, and you go by the book. And the book tells you that. The book will lay itself right out that way. If you want to know why confusion and heartache and disappointment, why you try to take the prayer promises back there, and you try to take the instructions about how you ought to live your life on a daily basis and how you ought to relate to one another, and whether you ought to keep the law or not keep the law and all that kind of, you try all that and it doesn't work. You know why? Because that ain't what God's doing today. When God does it, when that's God's program, it'll work perfectly. But that isn't God's program today. And you just bring confusion and frustration on yourself when you try to do it. Let me show you what I mean. Come with me to Matthew chapter number 19 in one hand, and Luke chapter number 18 in one hand, and 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. In the gospel of the kingdom, one of the basic differences between the gospel of the kingdom preached back here and the gospel of the grace of God preached over here is the fact that in the gospel of the kingdom, that message is preached by people who do not even know that Jesus Christ is going to die at Calvary. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4 says that the gospel by which you and I are saved, Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received from the Lord. Jesus Christ, by direct revelation, gave it to Paul, and Paul gives it to us. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. The very heart and basis of this message over here is called the preaching of the cross. The basis of what we preach today and the basis upon which you and I are saved today is faith, and faith alone resting in the fact and in the truth of the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Without the cross, we'd have no message to preach. Back here, however, these people preach the gospel of the kingdom, and the gospel of the kingdom did not contain a message about Calvary. That's fascinating, but it's true. They can't be the same. If that's the preaching of the cross, and this message doesn't even, the people that preach this don't even know that it's going to be a cross, then the two messages can't be the same. Then if you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get your doctrine, you know what you're going to do? You do away with the cross work of Christ in order to go back here. Now that's interesting. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. But I say unto thee, Christ is talking to Peter now, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples to tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Peter just got this great revelation about who Christ was. He's the Messiah. He's the one who's going to build the messianic, the kingdom church. See, the church back here is called the kingdom church. The church in here is called the body of Christ. Two different churches. He's going to build this church on the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. Peter's just got all that revelation. Now, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem. In other words, prior to Matthew 16:21, he'd never told them that he was going to go to Jerusalem and die, that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests, and be killed and be raised again the third day. These men had been sent out preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They'd been out preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were commissioned to do so in Matthew chapter 10. And it's only in Matthew 16:21 that he begins to tell them about going to die. They don't know about it prior to that. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but don't know he's going to die. And when he does tell them that he's going to die, look what Peter does. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. I won't let anybody lay a hand on you, Lord. I'll take care of them. Now, Peter was a commercial fisherman. I was born and raised on the Gulf Coast, down in Mobile, Alabama. And I've got relatives that are commercial fishermen. And if you know anything about commercial fishermen, you know that they battle the elements and the waves and the sea. And they're a hardy bunch. And I can understand Peter. Peter's not afraid of anybody. And he says, Lord, I'm not going to let anybody. I mean, I'll fight at the drop of the hat. And somebody messes around, I'll drop the hat. I'll take care of you. But you're not going to go die. Now, you know something, folks? Peter, if he'd have known what you and I know about the cross, and Christ said, I'm going to go die on the cross for your sins, Peter, what would you have said? Praise God, hallelujah. Isn't that what you said when you heard that message? That's what Peter says. Peter is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Here's about Christ dying. He says, absolutely no way. I won't let it happen. Peter's not preaching a blood atonement. Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18, verse number 31. parallel passage. And he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man must shall be accomplished, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. This saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Three times in one verse he tells you, they didn't understand what he meant. They didn't know what he meant. The things were hid from them when he talked to them about the cross. And yet, these same men that don't even know there's going to be a cross and don't believe there's going to be a cross when he tells them, have been preaching the gospel of the kingdom for 3 years. Now, you think about that. They've been preaching that good news of the kingdom, and yet they don't know about a cross work. They don't know about a blood atonement. They don't know about these things. There isn't any way that the blood atonement, the finished work of Christ at Calvary, the preaching of the cross can be equated with the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the grace of God and the gospel of the kingdom of God have to be different because the contents of the message is different. The details of the doctrine that is communicated is different. Now you say, well, where does the cross come in? It comes in later. And when it comes in, go back with me to Matthew chapter 20. When he does tell them about it, notice what he tells them. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for who? For many, it says. You know who many are? That isn't everybody. That's a bunch, but that's not everybody. You know who the many are? The many are Israel. Isaiah, Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. When he does tell them about why he's going to the cross and that he's going to go and he's going to die for the sins, he doesn't say, I'm going to go die for everybody's sins that'll come and trust me. He said, I'm going to die for the sins of many. Who is that? Isaiah 53. Everybody says, well, boy, Isaiah 53 tells about the cross, and it does. But did you ever read what it says about the cross? Isaiah 53, he says, verse number 8, he shall be taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Who were Isaiah's people? They were Israel. Back here, Jesus Christ dies in prophecy. He dies for the sins of the nation Israel. He ratifies. He does away with the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and establishes the New Covenant over here in His blood so that the nation Israel might be blessed by God and God blessing Israel, making them the channel of blessing out to the nations over here. Now come with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and notice the contrast. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. When you come to the ministry of the Apostle Paul, it's different. Folks, you just have to recognize the message back here, the gospel of the kingdom, didn't include the blood atonement. It can be preached without preaching the blood. You can't preach the gospel of grace without preaching the blood. And when the blood was added over here, and they finally found out about the cross work, it was limited to the nation Israel, to the elect nation, the chosen nation. But watch how Paul does it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. Talking about God our Savior who would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Not just some men, but all men. The distinction's been taken away. For there is one mediator between God and for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave, now watch, himself a ransom for all men. Not just some, not just Israel, but for everybody, to be testified in due time. The truth that Jesus Christ died for all men was not always testified. It's to be testified in due time. But now, whereunto I, Paul, am ordained a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles in truth and verity. Why did Jesus Christ ordain Paul as an apostle and a teacher and a preacher? He ordained him in order to testify, be the due time testifier, the but of the but now revelation about what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, how that he didn't just die to provide the instrumentality whereby the nation Israel could be redeemed and become God's chosen people, but he died in order that he also might form the church, that we might be reconciled unto God in one body by the cross, that God through the finished work of Jesus Christ might take Jew and Gentile and place them together in one body through faith and faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the message that God has in order for today. That's what God's doing today. Don't go back over here and confuse the issue. Don't go back over there and say, well, I want to take... Don't confuse yourself and other people. Don't play into the confusion of the religious system. Understand what God's doing today. And understand that this is the program that God has in operation today so that you can rejoice in the riches of God's grace to us in Christ and His finished work through Calvary's cross, how that Jesus Christ died to pay for the sins of all men for all time, and all men, good, bad, or indifferent, religious or unreligious, good ones, bad ones, middle-sized ones, can just come and trust Him who did enough for all of us. Christ paid it all. He died for everything that's wrong with us. He did enough, and He did it for you, my friend. It's not. You don't have to be a part of a special nation, a special religion, a special group. You just come as a sinner and trust Christ as your Savior, and God saves you by His grace. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have going on with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Four Gospels in Us. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 170. That's tape offer number 170. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.